This week has been a reflective week in lots of ways, and all the different experiences that I've encountered and seeing people that I haven't seen in many, many years, from encountering those that have been a part of your life journey, and then you start reflecting on different experiences you've had with those people in the span of their lifetime. Whether it be a young life like Quinn or be Bailey, who lived longer, you have these different reflective moments. And as I was studying this week to get ready for the sermon and the message today, I began to think back about different experiences. One of the most unique experiences that I recall during my early years of ministry was a Starlight Crusade, in which we would have this crusade and many people come to know Christ, but there was oftentimes guests there to share specific testimonies, and their testimonies were always mesmerizing and sometimes even staggering. And one of the most unique guests that we had during that time, more than one time, was a lady named Iris Uri Blue, who was a former prostitute. Grew up in a wonderful home, grew up with a faithful middle-class family, Christian family, but out of that rebelled completely against God's best for her life, rebelled against everything that God intended for her, and as a result of that, ended up living a very, very difficult life and making lots of bad choices. But in the midst of all that, the Lord found her. And I'll never forget, her words still vividly stand out to me, and it reminds me of the biblical story we look at today. She, in the most poignant moment of her testimony, she would make this statement: "I knelt down a tramp, and I stood up a lady." And every time I ever think about those who end up vocationally making difficult choices, I always remember how God had redemptively brought her into a relationship with Jesus, which changes everything. And that's exactly how Rahab had to have felt. Because Rahab had looked for an answer, and all of a sudden, there are two spies who come into the land who also bring the assurance that the very thing she'd heard about was reality. You see, the truth of the matter is, it was a very, very unlikely choice. These two very faithful men were there in amazing obedience. But Rahab, the most unlikely choice to be used by God. And here's what I want you to get across to you as we look at this passage today. Because today we find ourselves watching the story unfold in Joshua chapter 2. Because here's what I want you to see. In all of our lives, He can use anybody. He can use anybody to accomplish His purpose. And it may be He wants to use you to accomplish something in your life that's directly linked to your willingness to obey, even though it seems unusual, because this entire story seems unusual. Think about it for a moment. Here's a story of someone who, obviously, when you think through the life story of Rahab, it's not like one that's standing out as being distinctively and powerfully beautiful. This is a lady who had sold herself to accomplish what she needed to in life, and which, by the way, it's opposite of the real wicked world we live in now, where many find themselves the only thing they can do in lots of parts of the world is to sell themselves. And I have a friend who works in prisons in different parts of the world, and it's amazing how many have ended up, they didn't choose a vocation because it was a great choice. It was the only choice they had, which ended up leading them to a life of difficulty inside of a prison. And so Rahab was really in prison in her own heart and life because she realized that there was something more, there's something else God had for her. And it's interesting, we don't know all the background of what transpired that caused her heart to be touched. We know that she obviously was raised in a pagan world, which was very disconnected from God's purpose. She was raised in Jericho. We know she lived in a house on the wall. We know a lot of things about her, but we don't know everything about her. And as I read her story, I began to think about this thought as we reflect on this today. When you think about your own life, how often do you consider how He touched your heart? Because if you think about it for a second, if you know and reflect on how He's touched your heart, what happened to you? You start rejoicing in the reality of what He has done, because when He does touch your heart, He changes everything. It's the very reason that next Sunday we have the privilege of being able to baptize and celebrate some lives, and it's those whose hearts have been touched by God. And so when you start reflecting on that, I want you to imagine for a moment, this story is such a unique story because two faithful men find themselves coming into Jericho, encountering who? A prostitute named Rahab, who ends up being a protective part of their story, ends up leading to the redemption of her entire household, the transformation of her heart forever. And so much so that when you read in Hebrews chapter 11 and you read in James chapter 2, you begin to realize something. This was not just a story of a momentary experience. This was a change of heart that changed her life forever. And her faith became very defining. And so as you think about that, we find ourselves in Joshua chapter 2. Look at it with me if you would, because as we look at it, I want us to see some of what transpires inside of this story. Then Joshua, verse 1, then Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men as spies secretly, saying to them, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came into the house of a harlot whose name was Rahab and lodged there. It was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out the land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them, and she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they came from. It came about when it was time to shut the gate at dark that the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them in the stalks of flax which she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued them on the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who were pursuing them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now, verse 8. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. Look at verse 10, because this begins to tell you what she's been listening to. But we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt. What you did to the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. When we heard it, our hearts melted and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is the God in heaven above and on earth below. Now, therefore, please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you will also deal kindly with my father's household and give me a pledge of truth and spare my father and my mother and my brothers and my sister with all who belong to them and deliver our lives from death. So the men said to her, our life for yours if you do not tell the business of ours, and it shall come about when the Lord gives us the land that we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. Now, I want you to get the setting here. Here is a biblical story that God gives us to teach us some great concept regarding how to live our lives out so that we remain faithful. All right? So here's a woman who obviously has no background, by the way, no spiritual background. She's never obviously had a chance to attend One Heart Church or any other church. She doesn't have a connection point that gives her equipping. She has no discipleship orientation. She just knows that the God she's heard about is a God, because she makes reference to your God, is a God who could change the world and who could change her life forever. And so as you think about that, you'll notice that in verse 1 of chapter 2, Joshua makes a statement to those two spies, which, by the way, it's contrasting that 12 spies went out 40 years earlier. He sent two spies this time. What's also contrasting, he doesn't call them by name. He instead just recognizes that they have a responsibility to go and spy out the land. And he makes a reference point also, especially Jericho, which he understood that fortified city would be a challenging thing to conquer with two walls around it and 15 feet high, the wall. How would he deal with that? So sending those confident men in to explore was key. All right, so I want you to see that in life, God gives direction, gives very clear direction, specific things he wants us to do, all right? But then look on, because I want you to see, look at verse 11. Notice what she says one more time. When we heard it, our hearts melted away, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. So what happened? He makes it very clear. Out of our experience, you men go in and take direction. But what Rahab makes clear is fear. Watch this. Fear had become a part of the story of all those who were living in Jericho and on the other side of the Jordan, because they had heard there was a God so great that he was going to conquer and deal with everything that they had accumulated, everything they had ever had. All right? Look on, though, if you would. Verse 24. I want you to see the difference in a report of the spies this time, the majority, I should say, versus what happened the first time. Then they said to Joshua, these are the spies speaking back to him, "Sure, the Lord has given all the land into our hand. Moreover, all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before us." In other words, they have dissipated into something that's not even consequential. They're, the significance of what they're trying to do, the significance of how they're trying to do it, is absolutely inconsequential because, watch this, there is a God who's melted all their hearts. Melted their hearts and made them realize, you know what? We can have faith. We can have faith to believe that God's going to watch over us and take care of it. So I want you to think about this in light of what we see today. First of all, he gives a direction. He gives a direction to help us move through what he wants us to do. Then we see what happens when fear rules. And out of that fear came great faith. Pardon me one moment. So, out of that experience comes life lessons that you and I can glean. And as we look at this, I want you to think about a couple questions I think that are key. One is, when you think about your own life, how carefully do you investigate opportunity? In other words, what caution is given to the spies by Joshua is simply this: go and investigate, but be careful to look at Jericho. In other words, give me more information. Let me know what it is you see. It's interesting, God's going to give him clear instruction how to deal with it. But I want you to think about, God puts an opportunity in front of you, and you have to be able to process and evaluate, is that opportunity something great, something I should grab, or is it something I'm going to miss? And so today, as you think about in your own life, think about moments where God's put something right in front of you. But you had to investigate. You had to determine, is this what I'm supposed to do? Is this, why would he want me to do this? What will he accomplish through me? And that's what happens with these spies. They're sent in, and it's interesting because I have no doubt that Joshua reminded these guys, guess what? I've done this before, and a bunch of people didn't come back with a good report. But here's what, and I have no doubt that there had to come out of this had to come some reminders of the lessons of the past. And this is what I want you to grab hold of, because the lessons we learn in the past should be heeded while we evaluate future opportunities. In other words, we ought to remember what it is that God taught us. And I'm going to tell you, when I think about the span of the last 7 days, reflecting on different lessons learned, different moments that were significant, that stood out, and especially in light of those who have left us and gone on before us, and the lessons learned from them, the passion of how they live life, the passion and purpose that they yield themselves to. I mean, if you think about it for a moment, we all have these lessons that we've learned, and sometimes those lessons stay with us, and they stay with us forever. They become vivid, powerful lessons. And I had the privilege, I went by the nursery before church because I wanted to see Isla, because as I mentioned to you a few weeks ago, Isla has now where she knows who I am and she likes to interact with me. And so I went and got her out of the nursery, and Lou Ann and everybody else in the nursery were going, this is not a good day. This is not, it's not going to be good. It's not going to end well. And so I got tickled because, and when I got ready to give her back, you know, she didn't want to go back to them. She was with her grandfather. She liked that more. But then they got out a bowl of goldfish, and they put that goldfish right in front of her, and she looked at it, very interesting, she looked at it, and you could tell she was tempted to grab that goldfish, and eventually she did grab it, but then she went right back to me. The goldfish was just a temporary temptation that was not going to take away from her long-term goal, and that was to hang out with me. And so I gave her back to them, and as I was leaving, and I was watching as she cried and she wept, I was reminded, which, by the way, I don't get to do that very often anymore because I get in trouble when I do it, but I was reminded of how often we found ourselves clinging to the Lord, and then something comes at us, some opportunity, some challenge, what is it? Tries to push us away from God's best, from God's purpose, what he wants to accomplish through us, what he wants to do in us. And so for the two spies, they're given this direction, they're given very clear awareness that, hey, you know what, these lessons we've learned are powerful. So today I want to contrast two thoughts with you that I think will be helpful to you as you think about what it is that God wants to do through you. Because remember this, you could be the unlikely choice to do amazing things. You just have to be willing to say, Lord, I make that choice, I choose that opportunity. And so I want to show you and look at two different contrasting thoughts. One is these two men that are sent out on mission. And then I want to show you about how God uses Rahab to accomplish his purpose, which is to set in motion the salvation and redemption of her entire family. Which it's interesting to me that this girl who had such a bad vocation still had a great burden and concern for everyone that she loved. And so let's look at these two different aspects of this story, because remember, here's what we're looking at. Joshua chapter 1, he's told, guess what? You get a chance to live inside of all the blessings. All you have to do is don't be afraid. You just have to be courageous. You remember that every place you put your foot, you're going to win. And so the question you ask is, why would he send these two in to investigate? Because he was a great leader. He understood the promise. Watch this. He understood the promise, but he also understood the principle. And that is, whatever you do for him, you ought to do well. How do you do it well? You learn how to look closely at what it is he puts before you, what opportunity he puts before you, what choice he puts before you. So these two men, they're put out, they're sent out to do something that's significant. And it's interesting because there are three or four things I want you to see about them first. First of all, they were selected because they had confidence. And these men were selected because he knew they would accomplish the mission. Now, you could really take this story and run with it a lot of different directions, because you could ask yourself, now, why would these men go to a prostitute's house? I mean, why would they go to the most unusual, unlikely place? Which shows you that their intent was not going there because of her vocation. That was not the basis by which they went there. They went there because of God's direction. Because here's what you know. The steps of the righteous are ordered by God. And so you learn how to step into what it is he wants to accomplish too. So these men, I mean, I have no doubt they had confidence. They had so much confidence that later on when they go back out in verse 22, notice what happens. They departed and came to the hill country and remained there for 3 days until the pursuers returned. So they were confident enough to hang out in the hills around that area for 3 days, knowing that if they were premature at the point of going back home, it could cost them their life. How often do we jump too quick at what it is he wants to do through us, and we miss what it is he wants to accomplish because we end up getting wiped out by something? And if we just waited, wait on the Lord, he'll renew your strength. Wait on the Lord, he'll give you courage. You just have to be willing to stop and say, wait a minute now. So these men had confidence. How confident are you that he can accomplish exactly what he wants to do through you? Which, by the way, if you lack confidence, what happened to you? You operate, watch this, you operate not connected so much to his purpose, but your fear. Because your confidence wanes. That's why the Bible says, be careful of your confidence. Don't throw it away. It has a great reward. What is the great reward? You get to accomplish his purpose for your life. And imagine today that we're sitting here and we start thinking, wait a minute, if I can be confident, I can accomplish something great for him. I can do what it is he intends for me to do. What comes out of that? What comes out of that are the experiences that make life worth living. Because for these two men, there's no doubt their lives were never the same. And they didn't have to have their name recognition in the Old Testament. They didn't need that. What they needed was their obedience. And watch this carefully. It is not so much the accolades, the legacy that connects to our name that matters. It is the eternal impact of our lives that matters the most. And so these men, they accomplished exactly what was intended for them. They went out and they started investigating. The second thing I want you to see is this. The direction that Joshua gives was very clearly defined so that they would follow it. In other words, he didn't tell them, I want you to cross the Jordan, and I want you to wander around and just see what you see. I want you just to hang wherever you want to hang. And I want you to think about today what would happen if you and I understood something, that inside of this book are the directions by which we're supposed to move. And he gives us very clear direction of where he wants us to go, what he wants us to accomplish. When we yield to him, he begins to speak to our hearts and life. I want you to imagine that all of a sudden, you start thinking about your own journey of faith, and you realize he wants to do something inside you, but you have to be willing to listen to the instruction. And so he gave these instructions to these two spies so that they would know what they're supposed to do, specifically as it related to Jericho, because Jericho was the greatest threat to the initial crossing of the Jordan River. It was the greatest threat because it was a fortified city with two sets of walls. And archaeologists have found that the evidence of all that is there. And so it's interesting, and we'll see later on in the weeks to come what happens when they face this formidable foe that seems to be overwhelmingly too big for them to conquer. And listen carefully. In your life, you may have things that you encounter. You think, I don't think I can conquer this. Yes, you can. He'll knock down those walls. He'll bring you to hope. He'll help you arrive at direction. You just have to be willing to follow the directions that he gives you. The third thing I want you to see is this. As soon as they, in verse 3, and the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, that saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land. In the midst of all this encounter, there's one thing they discovered that was most vivid. They discovered that the heart of Rahab was faithful. They discovered that she was looking for something that the king could not give her. She was looking for the hope that rests in the name of God. She was looking for a relationship that would transform her life forever. That's why in Hebrews chapter 11, you find this reference, that the walls of Jericho fell, and Rahab the harlot, and it goes on to tell that this woman of faith stepped into believing while everyone else in that city, everyone else in Jericho was disconnected from accomplishing God's purpose, and it cost them everything, which tells you something. If you disconnect from God's purpose, you could easily lose sight of and cost of everything of value in your life. We need to be so careful to yield ourselves to accomplishing what he intends. Let him speak to our heart. Because for these men, you can imagine when Rahab began to speak to them and she started saying, your God is the true God. Your God is the one that that I'm looking for. No doubt their hearts had to be thrilled because they realized we went to the right place. Now, one other thing I want to point out to you, because I want you to realize that these men were on an unusual mission. They had an unusual responsibility. They had the opportunity to come back and bring a great report. And I don't know if you're like this, but I love it when people reinforce in their heart and life all the things that God is doing that are affirming and powerful and amazing. Because here's what you discover in life. If you're not careful, you could focus in on some negative experience, somebody else being disconnected, someone else yielding to something less. And what happened? Your focus becomes toxic, watch this, instead of truthful. And these men could have become toxic witnesses going back to the children of Israel, back to Joshua. But instead, the truth rested inside their hearts because they found a woman who was faithful. It tells you something. The most unusual of people can be used by God in the most amazing ways. What about you and me? We are unusual. We may not be that gifted, but what does he do? He takes us and uses us in powerful ways. One final thought on what you see, and it said, when they came back to Joshua, in verse 24, they reported to him the key words he needed to hear no matter what. Because notice what he says. They said to Joshua, sure, the Lord has given all the land into our hands. Moreover, all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before it. So he reemphasizes, watch this, the spies reemphasized to Joshua the same thing that Rahab has said, which tells you something. Rahab was faithful. Her faithfulness spoke to the hearts of these spies. They go back home and look at Joshua, which, by the way, they haven't fought a single battle yet. They have not encountered anything yet. But out of all these experiences, they learn something. God's faithful. And I want to encourage you to think about in your own life how faithful he is. He meets you at the point of your greatest need and becomes your greatest answer. You just have to entrust yourself to him and allow him to do that. Now, so here's the question. These two spies, I only have two questions I want you to think about, one now and one later. These two spies, they are put out on a mission that, if you think about it for a second, they got to swim the Jordan River at flood stage. They got to enter a city they've never been to. And they've got to report back things they've never seen before. And my question to you is simply this. Would you accept this type of mission if God gave it to you? If God put before you a mission that something you had not experienced before, and all of a sudden you had to go into it and you had to encounter it, and you had to say, you know what? I'm willing. Yes, I am. I have no doubt that everyone else on the other side of the Jordan, when these guys headed out, they realized these men had enough confidence to believe that God was with them. They had enough courage to swim across a river at a flood stage. They had enough wisdom to go to the right place. And watch this. And they had enough encouragement to bring back the good news that the hearts of the people had already melted away. So when you think about your own life, what kind of mission does God have for you? You're talking about being faithful. Our mission, watch this, our mission begins with us submitting in faithfulness to God's purpose. Because when we're faithful, he can begin to work inside of each one of us. Now, let's look at Rahab. So the two men we see, unnamed, but very carefully accomplishing what God intended. Then we find Rahab. the faith of Rahab, all right? So here, watch as the story unfold. Because what you see happening is, in verse 8, notice what transpired. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know the Lord has given you the land, and the terror of you has fallen on us, and all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt. We've heard about the two kings, the Amorites. When we heard it, our hearts melted away, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is a God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now, therefore, please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you also will deal kindly with me. Now, I want you to stop right there and realize something. She uses a word that when you look at the meaning and the root base of the word, it has to do with a steadfast love that's connected to a specific promise. So what is she asking them to do? She's asking them to validate their commitment by kindly dealing with her family. And it's interesting what they say in the last part of verse 14. Notice what they say. About when the Lord gives us the land, that we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. I mean, when you look at that word, it has all to do with faithfulness. That word is steadfast, faithful love that's connected to a specific promise. It's the very same thing that we build into our lives when we commit ourselves to kindly accomplish what God intends. We steadfastly love God so much so that we want to accomplish exactly what it is he has for each one of our lives. So my encouragement as you look at Rahab is think about this. What happens, first of all? She could have said, you can't hang out at my house. But instead, she sees the opportunity to host these two men. She could have said, I don't want you guys. You guys could get me killed. She didn't do that, did she? She sees this opportunity. But why did she want them in her house? They represented the God of heaven. They represented a God of heaven. And as a result, it had very powerful meaning to her. Not only that, though, notice what transpired. She understood something. She knew that her future rested in the hands of God, not in the king of Jericho. She knew that her future did not rest in a vocational choice that would cost her everything. She realized that her future rested in the hands of God. Listen, you and I need to learn this today over and over again. Our future rests in his hand. Our future rests in what he wants to do through it. Our future, every day that we live, every breath that we breathe, it's all connected to his future for us. We just have to be willing to see what Rahab saw as well. She also realized something was powerful. She realized that the God of heaven had a plan for her. And when she started talking about their God and their ways and what it is, listen, she realized, you and I, you want to accomplish what God intends, you have to know he has a plan for your life. Because if you don't, what happened to you? You operate overwhelmed by emotions, challenged by circumstances, convicted by the wrong thing, and what happens? You and I miss what it is God wants to do through it. Today, think about what happens if all of a sudden you realize that God of heaven has a plan for you. The plan, by the way, can't be altered by man. It's designed in heaven to accomplish his will, his purpose for each one of us. A fourth thing I want you to see is, as you look at Rahab is she accepted their promise because they made a promise to her. You know what? If you'll be faithful, we'll be faithful. If you are kind, we are kind. And she accepted that promise that God was going to watch over her. And all she had to do, she had to tie that scarlet thread on her outside window as a reminder of which home represented faithfulness, which home represented the faithfulness of God at work. And so, what does she do finally? She tells the spies, go out this way, go this direction, and she directed the spies to safety so they could bring the promise back to Joshua, which would validate their opportunity to protect her life. And ultimately, her and her family all had the privilege of being able to experience life the way God intended. Think about it, what we see today in our own life. If we're just willing to say, Lord, I want to do it your way instead of my way. I want to yield myself to what you want to accomplish. I don't want to be overwhelmed by circumstance. I don't want emotions to steal my direction and my hope. I want to instead experience you. For Rahab, it was a life-changing experience. And it's interesting because the Bible says that all they had to do, tie a string on their window, tie that red string, all that Rahab had to do. And can you imagine when the rumblings began that the people were crossing the Jordan River? I want to ask you a question. How often do you think she checked her thread? How often do you think she opened a window, looked for that red thread, said, man, make sure that thing's tied tight. Make sure it's on there no matter what. And the truth of the matter is she checked it more than one time probably because she wanted to make sure that the protection of God, watch this, would bring the provision of God, and the provision of God would help her experience the purpose of God. And that's why when you look at the book of James and why you look at the book of Hebrews, the two women, it's interesting, think about this in Hebrew, two women noted by way of significance in James, one of those books, I forget which one now, but I know the story. Here's the story part of it. Sarah and the contrast of Rahab. Sarah, faithful in a unique way. Rahab, a prostitute God uses, which tells you something. Doesn't matter where you are on the spectrum. You could have lived this amazing, faithful life. He wants to use you more. You may be in the front side of a journey wanting to be used by God, and you have to yield yourself to him. The question is, do you have a scarlet rope on your window? Have you tied your thread on that window that says, you know what, this is me. This is me. I tell you, one of the most moving and amazing things to me to watch during this last week for the One Heart Church is to watch the men and women who, they have a scarlet thread tied on a window because they served in such an amazing way. It blessed my heart as a pastor to watch all the ways that our people stepped up and served while people walked through the valley, walked through the difficulty. And here's what I want you to see. You tie that rope on there, and you realize something. You start realizing he chose you. He chose you to accomplish purpose. So my question for you today is simply this. Do you realize he chose you? And maybe you're here and you've never given your heart to him. You want to be faithful, rock solid, never wavering. You give your heart to him and let him become part of your story. He changes your life forever. If you're here today and you need a home to become a part of a family so you can connect into God's purpose, listen carefully. You don't want to be a spectator in God's kingdom work. You want to be someone who's committed to accomplishing what he intends. Whatever it is that you see processing inside of you, you have to ask yourself, you may be the most unlikely choice to accomplish the most amazing thing. You just have to be willing to say to the Lord, yes, yes, I will. And what we discover is that we'll see in a few days, in a few Sundays, that what happened is as they get ready to deal with the issues of life and conquer Jericho, they also have to deal with some things inside of their own hearts and life. I'll show you more of that in the days to come. But my question for you today simply is this. Would you like to be used by him in an amazing way? And the way you do that is you get involved in his purpose for your life through his church to yield yourself to accomplishing what he wants to do inside of your heart and mind. As we pray together, you let him speak to your heart. Father, thank you. Thank you that we look inside your word. We see the most amazing story. See the story of a lady who had no hope, who found hope because the God of hope met her where she is at and took her where she could never go herself. And Lord, no doubt that scarlet thread hanging from that window was a reminder to her that there was a God who would be willing to sacrifice everything so that she could experience life. So Lord, thank you for the promises of your word. Thank you for how this story unfolds, how there's courage and there's confidence, how there's convictions, there's commitment. Lord, we see this in light of all this entire story. Help us, Lord, to hear you speak to our hearts. Lord, speak to anyone here who's looking for you. May they find you, for we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.